And then I'm going to ask the rest of us, if you'd pick up your copies of the Word of God, the Bible, open them to the New Testament, and then to the book of Acts and chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to continue in our study of the wonderful effect of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon God's people. We're looking presently at a subtitle that is called The Church, Walking in the Spirit. Yes, if you're new with us, you won't have a set of message notes, most likely, but just ask the usher and they will provide them for you. So we're looking at walking in the Spirit. We have watched, as we began our study in this book, the birth of our Lord's church, that when the Spirit came upon these Jewish individuals, He came with an explosive power. He came into their lives and He gave them, as we saw in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this explosive power to go and be witnesses for Him in this world. And this is what they did. They went forth to be witnesses and to minister the spiritual gifts, the mix of gifts that He gave them. And we're being called to walk in the Spirit. We have learned that there is the infilling of the Spirit when a man, a woman, a young person comes to faith in Christ. That's the first infilling. And then we saw where Peter, when he began to preach his first message, which we just concluded, he again was refreshed in the Holy Spirit to do something special. He had a special, the Bible uses the term anointing, to speak on God's behalf to thousands of Jewish men that we believe were gathered there on the Temple Mount and to hear the claims of Jesus Christ upon their lives. So the Spirit of God comes and refreshes us as often as we feel we need to be refreshed in the Spirit. We are told that we need to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It is something that is to take place in your life and in mine on a regular basis. We receive it as a command. Now, someone who has served in the military as well as in paramilitary organizations, when I received an order, it wasn't necessarily something that I always received with joy in my heart, but nonetheless had to fulfill it. But we have commands from our Heavenly Father that come to us, especially through Holy Writ. The Holy Spirit revealing to us what is important to our Father. And that we are to follow His commands and to fulfill them. But when these commands come forward, at least in my life, I don't receive them as, oh, here we go again, I got to go do something I don't want to do. No, I want to go do these things because they please Him. And as I've shared with you in the past, one that has served in time of war and worked the streets and that kind of thing and law enforcement, to work alongside other individuals who are willing to lay down their lives for me, that really strikes and makes a tremendous impact upon one's life. And this is what Jesus did, not only for me, but for each of you and the people out there in the world. He did it for those that follow other religions that will never get them into the presence of God, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Now, that's not me saying that. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and went to the cross and there suffered for you and for me, the world, took our sins upon Himself, suffered and died, And God the Father raised him 3 days later, and hundreds upon hundreds of people have seen him alive right after the crucifixion. So here we are at the day of Pentecost, and now we're moving away from it to see what the church was like, what the church should be like today. We shouldn't be any different from that church then, except with the things that God the Holy Spirit was doing to grab the attention and to show the people then certain authorities that had been given to the apostles. So family, as we look at the church walking in the Spirit, it's important for us to go through what I believe is an exercise for some of you. I trust it'll be something that you do on a regular basis anyway. But the church in America does a lot of sitting. They do a lot of listening, and they don't necessarily hear everything. I understand distractions. There's much going on in people's lives. But when we sit and we listen and we take notes and we read scripture, it's important for us to remember it's not just words on a printed page. It is the very words of our Heavenly Father to us. And when he says that we should go and do something, he really means for us to go and do something. So many of you can look at Romans in chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 in your mind because you've been there a number of times. But my question to all of us this morning is this. Do we actually live out Romans 12 verses 1 and 2? Because before we can look more deeply into what the first church was about, what the Spirit of God was leading them in, we who have been around, we who have the benefit of all 66 books of this marvelous document that we call the Bible, we have more information than they did, these people in the first church. I don't know if that's good or a detriment to us, because we are going to be held responsible for all that we know and that we don't do that we know. Because if we don't do the things we know that God would have us to do, then we are actively living in sin. So before we can go any further, open your Bibles to Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He is writing under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. As we have learned from the Word of God that Scripture is God-breathed, it's alive, it's active, and sometimes we feel that it's sharper than a two-edged sword as it is described. But it is there to teach us, and it is there to reprove us. It is there to correct us. It is there to be teaching us the training we need in righteousness so that we can go forth in the name of Jesus Christ, for our Lord Jesus Christ, to do the very things that he created us to do. We know that we are his creations, created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are his masterpieces. And there isn't anything that we can't do that the Lord would have us do, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Some things are not possible for humankind, but all things are possible with God. And since God the Holy Spirit has come to reside within, I trust, the majority of us here this morning, then there is nothing that he would ask us to do that we cannot do. So here is Paul, and he is speaking to the Roman church at that time. Now, that's not the Roman Catholic Church. This is the church before 340 A.D., This is before the birth of humankind getting in and screwing up Christ's church. In Romans 12, the Holy Spirit led Paul to say, I appeal to you therefore, brothers. And the word there for brothers is anthropos. So that means my brothers and my sisters. And he says, using this word, I appeal to you. I urge you. I exhort you. I beseech you. I am pleading with you. The grammar is suggesting that if we had a picture and if Paul were actually in the presence of the Roman church, he would be on his knees and asking them to do something. The Spirit of God has asked Paul to ask us this morning as we read his letter, and it says, I am beseeching you, there, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, by all of those things that God has done for you, those things that you're aware of that he has done for you, that come to mind, the mercies of God. We deserve punishment, but because Christ took our punishment, we received the benefit of all that. He was so merciful not to make us also have to pay for our sins. Our sins have all been taken care of by Christ. So he says there, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands. When you woke this morning and you were really awake, I'm not talking about when you probably first got up, but later this morning, did you turn to our Heavenly Father and present yourself to Him? Because this is a present imperative. It is a command. But it's not one of those things where we should be saying, well, I don't want to do that. He wants us to present our bodies. Our bodies encapsulate our mind, our soul. It's like loving him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The body, it has all of this in it because our spirit resides there. We're to present ourselves as a living, holy sacrifice. Holy, that means you've been separated out. You are set apart from the world. We are to see ourselves as set apart. Remember in 1 Peter, in Peter's first epistle, he tells us that we are part of a holy nation. We've been raised up by him to be part of a holy nation. So to give ourselves holy, having been made holy because of the sacrifice of Christ, we've been made holy because we have received Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And acceptable to God. Doing this and presenting our bodies to him as a sacrifice, this is pleasing to him, he's saying. And that is every, I know you want to please God. I know that in my own heart that we want to please him. But you see, as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, the sacrifices of old were presented alive to the priest. And then the priest slaughtered the sacrifice. He cut its throat. He killed it. We are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice in such a way as to say no to ourselves. We are to see ourselves as dead to sin and alive to God. We are to see ourselves as the slaves of Christ because he is our master. Paul uses the term doulos time and time again, and American expositors want to call that a servant because it is distasteful to think of the word slave in America. And so it should with regard to our history. But with regard to Jesus Christ, we are presenting ourselves as his slaves. We don't come to him in part, we come in the whole. But yet there are so many in the church that think, well, I can just give him part of me and the rest of me is going to be out here in the world doing the things that the world want. No, no, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying here that we are to present ourselves as a living, holy sacrifice. That's what's acceptable to God. Our whole body, not part of it, all of it. And he says, this is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Again, present imperative. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We need to come together and decide we're not going to copy the behavior of the world. We know that Christ's Spirit is in us, therefore he is in the world, but he has given the world over to Satan and his until such time that he is to return. So we're not to find ourselves following after the pattern and the customs of the world, but we are to be transformed. That term, metamorphosis, that we get in English, is here, to be transformed. We were once worms, if you will, and now we are ascending on high as these beautiful butterflies that have been made in Christ Jesus. We are to be transformed into a new person by changing the way we think. He talks about by the renewal of our mind. Our mind in the Greek is the idea, the center where our affections are, where our attitudes come from, that sort of thing, our thoughts. And then he says, then you will learn to know God's will. The way we're going to see our minds renewed is in the study of this word. And this is why I'm taking the time this morning that we may not get very far into our regular study, because this is what is required for you and for me to receive the real illumination from the word of God, to go forward and to appreciate it and to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading in the use of it in our own lives. The scripture has never been given to us for the purpose of just reading it and moving on without it. It was given to us to change our lives, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So in the study of the Word of God, then, we will learn what is good and what is pleasing and that which is perfect from God's point of view. And this is what a slave of his wants to do and love for him, to please him. So having said that, going back to Acts 2, verse 42, we see there in our notes on page 9, he says, and they, all of these Jewish men, over 3,000 Jewish men, devoted, proskarteleo, they are now remaining steadfast and faithful in the apostles' teaching. And not only that, but into fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And notice here, something wow took place in their midst. They're in awe. Awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs, miraculous things are taking place through the apostles, these 12 men, all pointing to Christ, all pointing to God. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. No selfishness here. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Because of the way that they were conducting themselves and sharing their message, they are being received by the people that are around them, Jewish people that are around them, and they are themselves listening and becoming followers of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's obvious, according to Tom, my time is just about done. When we looked at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 last week, I wasn't able to finish all of it. We know that the early church, as they went out and made converts, they just weren't out there making a convert, someone who moved from Judaism or some other religion to Christianity. They were entering into a relationship with God, the Father, through his son, Jesus. They were becoming disciples, learners. And we saw what these learners were doing. And I just touched on the word baptism. I have met people within our own church family who've changed their mind, for which I believe our Lord is happy, and other people outside our church, they are relying on being obedient to being baptized in Christ based on an infant baptism that they received many years earlier. The Bible does not call for infant baptism. Never has, and it never will. It's a closed document, contrary to some in another theological persuasion. It is a closed document. So it is the disciples who are baptized. And I just want to encourage you, if you were baptized as an infant, as a little kid, you weren't a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, were you? You had not confessed and repented of your sins. You had not offered yourself in fullness to Christ to follow him. You went through something your parents wanted done or somebody else. As most of you know who have been here with me a while, I was baptized as an infant. My parents were not Christians. They weren't anything. But my parents were listening to my adopted grandparents who were Christians and of a particular Protestant tradition where you baptize babies. And out of deference to my adopted grandparents, they had me baptized. Now my grandparents, I'm sure, well, at least I think, that's all I can do because I was there, but I really wasn't there. I'm just this little nine-month-old. And my grandparents are happy. They're thrilled. My mom and dad, they're probably thrilled that my grandparents are thrilled, but they could care less. There's not going to be any further Christianity in my home growing up. I'm not going to be baptized truly and for another 2+ decades. Before I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, become a disciple and follow him. So for you, if you're here this morning, anyone who's still relying on your childhood baptism, I want to encourage you. When we have our next baptism, why don't you sign up for the class and decide to do it right? Because it is one of those wonderful commands. Be baptized. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, share part of your journey that led you up to the time that you really gave your life to Christ and changes that you have seen in your life. And bless all those as if you've attended our baptisms, you come away just feeling so wonderful. It's not to be a touchy-feely event, but nonetheless, you can't hardly not come away feeling wonderful when we learn of people that we had no idea that they'd been in prison. We had no idea that they were former drug addicts and still having to deal with addictions, but having success in Christ. So I'm just asking because we're studying the Word of God. This is one of those occasions let's apply it to our lives and honor him, love him, have an opportunity to make a public statement as these 3,000 Jewish men would come and make a statement of their faith in Jesus, and they're having to now renounce Judaism. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, I really thought you were going to have me get a little bit further along in here. But I hope I fulfilled your request this morning and that you will be pleased down the road as more and more will be turning their lives in fullness to you. Father, may we be known as a church family that loves you so much that they really do offer themselves every day as a living sacrifice, having been made holy by your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That they can see in the lives of one another that they are being transformed from the world in which we live and conformed to look and live and speak and do as they see your Son doing in the Gospels, Father. Father, may we be sensitive to your Spirit's leading and apply these things as we learn them so that we are pleasing to you. You gave so much. You, the Holy Parent, providing us the Holy Son who would be the holy sacrifice. Standing there allowing him, watching him in anguish and great pain because of our sinfulness. Instead of reaching out and deciding to destroy us all as you did the earth on one other occasion, you let your Son be the perfect sacrifice for sin. And that was your plan all along. How can we grasp you more? You are infinite and we're finite. Father, may we truly be devoted to your scriptures, that we can more and more hold on to your wonderful attributes that you want us to know about and to be able to quietly by ourselves with our families as a church family to rise up and praise you for who you are because we have come to know you, or to praise you for a new attribute that we have learned about you because you are so infinitely wonderful. So Father, please receive our songs this morning. May they reflect that which is really in our hearts. May you be lifted up and made much of. Receive our praise, receive our love, and help us to receive your message day by day and follow after you as a church that is truly walking in the Spirit. For it's in Christ we ask these things who can make it possible. Amen.
Amen.